Earth and Sky.
The NOAA Climate Service will provide a single, reliable, and authoritative source of climate data information.
You are listening to Thomas Carl, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Carl is interim director of the NOAA Climate Service, which is scheduled to launch in October of 2010. Dr. Carl spoke by telephone with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about the purpose and goals of the newly formed NOAA Climate Service.
Dr. Carl, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Tell us about this newly created NOAA Climate Service.
Well, first I should just mention that this is a proposed structure for NOAA. We don't need any special laws from Congress. However, we do need to go through the Appropriations Committee in Congress for final approval in terms of the way our budgets are distributed starting next year. But the Climate Service, and we hope to have it implemented by the beginning of the fiscal year next year, which starts October 1 for the government, it will be a comprehensive and integrated office, and it will be responsible for all of NOAA's climate science, its data, and its information and services. It will, for the first time, provide a one-stop shop for the users across the nation who have been asking for climate data to help them in their decisions for not only near-term planning, but long-term planning. Now, in some ways, it will be similar to the National Weather Service in that the National Weather Service has been providing weather information and services for now over 140 years. It's easy to get to. It's information that is made available. There are a variety of private sector services that take in information and tailor that to the specific needs of the nation and as well as international needs. The Climate Service in that respect will be similar. We'll be providing information, we'll be delivering it at the regional level, and we anticipate, we've had discussions with a number of people from the private sector, that there will be a spawning private sector set of climate services that would be developed to deliver more specific and localized information for user needs. How it will be different than the Weather Service is the Weather Service cranks out information on a demanding basis every few minutes, sometimes even down to the minute during severe weather, makes updated forecasts every 6 hours. It's quite a demand to feed information machine. The difference for the Climate Service will be our timescales will be a little less demanding, and that is we'll be operating on timescales from weeks to decades and longer. So that means the information that we provide will have to ensure we have the latest science and research. So one of the things that we're trying to do is to link both the science and service components on the climate side. Weather Service, it's heavily focused on delivery of the services, and the sciences are done outside the Weather Service, but still within NOAA. So it's a little different model for the end users. However, what it should mean is that for both services, the best information is provided in terms of meaningfulness and timeliness.
Now, earlier you were talking about the unusually heavy snowfall that hit the eastern U.S. And some people have pointed to that as an example of reasons to doubt that climate change either is happening or that it's important, or public opinion in the U.S. of support for climate science itself, sometimes it can come and go. What are your thoughts on something like this?
That's a very good question. I'd first kind of tongue-in-cheek say I think it's more difficult to predict public opinion than it is the climate, so I would not venture there. But I will say we had a real good example of why a climate service is much needed. We had this event here over the last month with some major record-breaking snows from Philadelphia all the way down to the Washington, D.C. area. And it's been persistently cold in the Mid-Atlantic region. The question is, well, how could this possibly happen if all what we've been hearing is the climate is going to continue to get warm? And It's a very good question. We would be the first to admit we don't understand all the vagaries of climate, but we do know that one has to be very careful about looking at individual events and drawing overall conclusions, because climate, in fact, is an aggregate of many events. This particular event on the East Coast really was a factor that was seen from the standpoint of changes in the atmospheric circulation that have occurred in the past like this. There's a common phenomena called the El Niño that most people have heard about, and we understand from a climate perspective how the El Niño comes and goes. We can predict it many months in advance. In fact, there was a moderate to strong El Niño this past winter. There's another phenomena called the Arctic Oscillation. And what the Arctic Oscillation has been doing in the past number of years is it's becoming much more of an oscillation that is pushing winds west to east. And so the cold air in the Arctic doesn't have a chance to penetrate deep south. This year, however, we saw that Arctic Oscillation swing to near record levels. And we know in the Mid-Atlantic region, when that happens, we have a much greater likelihood of snow events. And in fact, we look back and check the records, places like Baltimore have three times the likelihood of significant snowfalls during these major events. And this one was very, very strong. Now, we in the past have not been able to predict the Arctic Oscillation when it would flip. We know it's an important phenomena, but we haven't had the insight to tell you which particular season it's going to flip, which ones are not, unlike the ENSO, the El Niño. Now, there are some new research. There's some new research being done, and this is why any climate service is going to be very dependent on good, strong science that suggests that as the Arctic ice is melting, this has a contribution to the Arctic Oscillation. It changes the warmth in the mid parts of the atmosphere in the Arctic, and it changes the gradients of cold to warm. And when those gradients change, there's some suggestion that this jet stream becomes unstable. So there's some important potential feedbacks in the system, and this is an area we're still trying to better understand. But again, as I started out the conversation, and by no means does it suggest that there's no global warming. While we're having the snow on the East Coast, we've seen overall the second warmest global ocean temperatures, globally overall fourth warmest January on record. So the globe continues to warm on average. It doesn't mean everywhere.
You've been listening to Thomas Carl, director of the National Climatic Data Center and interim director of the new NOAA Climate Service. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.